All right, it seems like it's time to give a little bit more clear definition of what each of those roles are on this mysterious triangle that we've been referring to. If you can take a look at the jacket for this CD, you should see a diagram there. If you don't have the CD label there, where we intend to have a diagram for you, just grab a piece of paper and a pencil and put three dots in a triangle with the point facing down. The top left dot will be persecutor, the top right will be rescuer, and the bottom one will be victim. And we'll give you a few key words to help you understand what each of those roles look like, and you might want to just jot those down right underneath each one of the titles. So, ladies, how would you describe a persecutor?
Well, in my mind, when I think of a persecutor, I think of somebody with an angry face shaking a finger at me. Right, you know, shaking it right in my face, assigning blame to somebody, accusing.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anybody want to add anything to that picture?
Yeah, I think also of a persecutor is somebody who lays the guilt trip on you. Mm-hmm. It's a manipulation, a heavy manipulation there. And let's see, somebody who controls, too, a very controlling personality.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, got to keep you in your place, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. And I would think somebody that would use a lot of fear towards the other
threatening
person.
Threatening kind of thing.
Threatening, yes. Mm-hmm.
Power plays.
Power plays, yeah.
And that is a power position to be in. Mm-hmm. Getting the last word in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
It could be an abuser.
It could be.
Oh,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And often someone who's struggling with some kind of addiction would have issues there. Okay, so we got a little bit of a mind's eye picture of the persecutor. Move over to the right side of the top of the triangle, the rescuer. What does the rescuer look like?
But wait a minute, isn't rescuing a good thing?
Just going to put you on the spot,
Barb. you know that's a whole subject there, exactly, because we've talked about the difference between being someone who is exhibiting Christian sacrificial love versus someone who is being a rescuer, which we also know one of the terms for that is being codependent.
Right. You know?
So we do believe that there is an appropriate role for people to hold one another accountable, and there's an appropriate role to help somebody.
Coming alongside.
And yes, there are even times when you truly are being hurt and victimized. But what we're defining in this triangle is the excessive nature of this sort of thing and the more heavy control or more heavy power dynamics, I think would be a way to put it. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I guess when I think of it, because of what we went through in the Life Model book, we talked about what's the difference between rescuing and restoration. And so the rescuing in this drama triangle would not be for the purpose of restoring and getting that person to stand on their own two feet and be accountable and responsible. But it would be continually going in and pulling somebody out of the drink, you know, out of the water, you know, and grabbing you one more time out of the raging waters.
Because that's my role.
Is it?
Or because it's...
No, I'm not identifying it. I'm just saying, I was like...
Or else finding someone that you can rescue because they'll appreciate you.
You
know,
it's more of a self thing.
Then they'll be more thankful, you know,
And Carla, that's exactly why that's put across the top, the two more powerful positions, because people tend to find more self-gratification or recognition in playing those roles.
It can also be seen in a parent-child situation when a parent might have a hard time letting go or letting the children grow up, and that's they will step in and take over in areas that they shouldn't. You should let the child learn on their own. Not come and pick them up if they don't need it, or don't step in and do all the homework for them. Or other situations too that are easy for parents to do, because when the children were younger, they needed more.
Exactly, and I would think of indulgence or overindulgence at that point, that I'm helping you not so much because you need it, but because it makes me feel good to do it for you. Mm-hmm. Which is a subtle message of saying, I really don't quite think you're capable or able to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Which is not, as Janelle said, it's not a restoring kind of a mode.
Yeah, it's a controlling position again. You know, again, a power position. I'm going to control the situation. I'm going to rescue. And you need to do things my way because I know better. So I know how to control the situation and do all the damage control.
Right. And the message is, I'm doing this for you. But it may not be for them. It may be for your own self-gratification.
Right. Well, and also, I think they can be operating a lot out of fear, too. It's, I have to keep control of the situation, especially if they're in an abusive relationship. I have to keep the peace no matter what the cost.
Yes, yes.
Or if there is an addict in the family, he can't lose his job. My friends can't know, so they try to cover up for all of those types of things.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it gets that martyr syndrome in there.
Oh, mm-hmm. Another good word there. Uh-huh.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, or maybe even keeping the secret. Getting help from the outside in a situation because of shame. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or other feelings that come in the way.
And just as we've seen throughout the years with domestic violence situations, there often are people who are upstanding people in the community who, for all outward appearances, look perfectly fine, healthy, and wonderful, but the way their relationships go at home are not that at all. And there is a great deal of fear, and there's a great deal of intimidation. And as Mildred said, that people don't want that to be exposed. And they would rather suffer silently and somehow feel strong, you know, for being able to deal with it. And those few people who might know might be giving them a lot of positive feedback. Oh, you're just so wonderful to stay so strong and stay so committed in the middle of all of this, which is not necessarily always a good thing.
Right.
How about that last role down at the bottom, the victim?
Depressed, very depressed sometimes, and they, you know, they're passive and they're aggressive.
Poor me.
or passive aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great minds think alike.
Yes.
Poor me, you have to take care of me.
And how much they hurt me.
Mm-hmm. They hurt me.
The helpless.
Helpless,
was wounded. Yeah.
And
this is someone whose perpetual position is viewing it this way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I know somebody who actually said to me, I enjoy being helpless.
Oh.
Ooh.
So that's definitely this victim role. I didn't know it at the time, but as we were going through this before, it's like, okay, I know what role they were wanting to stay in, even if, you know, that person didn't understand it herself.
Mm-hmm.
But
although sometimes people can jump, like from rescuer, and I'm rescuing you, and then, but you don't appreciate it, so then they become that victim. But you don't appreciate what I'm doing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm poor me.
Poor me,
mm-hmm.
And then they get angry and start getting mad and they can become into the persecutor. Mm-hmm.
So then a person doesn't necessarily have to stay in that one particular role.
No,
they don't. Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting how you bounce around on this triangle.
Mm-hmm. Do we have anyone here who can see any time period in their life where they've been in one or more of these roles?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I know one that Marsha's been.
Actually, I'm actually very willing to talk about that. I'm going to talk about, my son. I have a, one of my sons has a bipolar disorder, and he's ADD and just some major depressive issues. But he's not totally helpless or useless, and yet I had a tendency to keep letting him come back home and take care of him, where I should have probably, would have been a better thing to do, would have been to let him learn to stand on his own two feet and make his own choices and live with his own consequences and grow up. Instead of treating him like a child, I took care of him, but at the same time, I felt like you know, what a burden this was, because he wasn't learning, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And it was, I mean, I bounced between rescuer and victim, and then I even got into persecutor when I told him how what I expected of him in not necessarily an appropriate way.
Is there something wrong with giving expectations?
Well, there's nothing wrong with letting a person know what you expect of them or what you know should be expected, but it's how you do it when you're putting them down in the process.
Uh-oh.
And accusing or blaming, when the reality is that in that situation, he did have a role in that, but I had a huge role in that because I played the victim, but I rescued him, and then I persecuted him because I had to rescue him.
Or he didn't appreciate how you rescued him,
He
maybe?
Didn't appreciate it, and he didn't do things my way, doggone it.
Oh, Frank.
Imagine that.
I've been a victim. I've been a rescuer. I have been a great rescuer. But I'm a recovered rescuer now. I'm not committed to that anymore. One of the biggest things when we were talking about this initially over the past couple of months was like, oh, I was just in this situation, but I detached. I did rescue, you know. I wasn't the victim. I stayed out of that triangle, so I enjoyed success there with this. So I'm now going to say that I'm a reformed rescuer victim. But I probably was in a persecutor role a couple times, too. My ex-husband had some issues going on, and one of the things that I noticed about this triangle is the chaos, that I felt so sucked in by the chaos that I had to be in that rescuer position in order to keep the chaos at bay. At least that's what I understood at that time. Mm-hmm. Financial situations, things like that. There was some abuse going on.
And the difficulty is to label it for what it is, because I think hope springs eternal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And as a believer, you were a believer at that time.
Oh, definitely.
You were thinking, is this what God is asking of me to help bring restoration in this person's life?
Exactly. And, you know, being committed to the relationship, and, well, I got married for better or worse, how can I just, you know, extract myself from this situation? That did not seem right. But as we've been learning from the codependency book, that there is a way to detach from the situation, not get sucked into that chaos and into that drama triangle anymore, but to step outside of it and to speak rationally and maturely into the situation. And basically, if the other person wants to continue in the way he or she is acting, they do that. But I don't need to be sucked into it, and I don't need to run around and pick up the pieces anymore.
And exactly. All of life doesn't need to be a drama or a crisis that needs immediate attention all the time.
Exactly.
And that's one of those maturity issues as well, being able to deal with difficult decisions and tolerate disappointments for a while until there can be resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think this is taking us into our next section.